Let's begin by turning to Matthew chapter 19. And we've read this portion of Scripture many times. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now this man was wealthy and most likely a leader in the Jewish section of Jerusalem, known as the Sanhedrin. This leader were composed of men knowledgeable in the law. But they were always trying to trick up Christ in some way to show how well versed they were in the law. But Christ, knowing their thoughts, was always ahead of them. So he said, Christ said in verse 17, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." So from the beginning, God instruction with human beings has been motivated by his love for us. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, and you know, verses, we know known this scripture by heart. John chapter 3 in 16, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God wants us all to live forever, to attain eternal life in the kingdom of God. But first we must learn how to get along with each other, how to love one another, and that is why love is so important. If God were to grant us eternal life without teaching us how to love one another, he would be committing us to live forever in confusion and chaos. But that's not the case. God will not allow the present resentments, jealousy, hostility, and selfishness, desires that humans have, that type of nature, will not be carried forward into eternity. So we come to the question, what is love? Well, John gives us the answer. In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 6, 2 John 1 and verse 6, "This is the love that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it." So we notice then that Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 13, let's turn there, Romans chapter 13, we'll see what Apostle Paul has said concerning love. Begin reading in verse 8 of Romans chapter 13. Apostle Paul says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Continues in verse 10. Love does not harm, does no harm, rather, to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that is now, is a high time to awake out of sleep. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on armor of light. The Christian life must be pure. It must be holy. When the rich young ruler asked Christ what he must do to enter into eternal life, Christ introduced him, if you will, a full spiritual life package. In this package, there is a spiritual roadmap that contains all the instructions that one must follow if he or she is to arrive at the appointed place, which is the kingdom of God. Just as the rich young man had the opportunity to accept this spiritual package, so do we. All the contents of this spiritual package are all carefully wrapped and woven into a lifetime of love. And I say this because all of God's commandments support one another. There are 10, as we know, but in all of those 10 commandments, they are woven together. If you take time to study them one by one, you can connect each one of them with a thread that holds them all together in love. So the sermon title for today, You Have Been Summoned. You have been summoned. This package that's available to all mankind is God's law, the Ten Commandments. And for today's sermon, we will reach in and pull out one of the contents in this package. That content will be the fourth commandment that we all try with all of our heart to follow each week. My purpose is to show you how and why we should keep the Sabbath. First of all, we are commanded to do so, of course, but we are commandment-keeping people. Therefore, the Ten Commandments are the laws of God. We keep these laws because God said so. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. We begin reading in verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed means to make holy. So we see, brethren, this is not just another day. This day is holy to the Lord. This day has been sanctified. Sanctified means set apart and should not be treated in a common way. Genesis chapter 2. We will read from there. Please turn to Genesis chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So, this day is sacred. The Sabbath is a blessing to all those who remember to keep it. You know, I know that God knew when he placed this commandment in the midst of the ten that there would be people in a lifetime that would not remember. They would fail to understand the importance of this day and what it represents. So he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You can remember many, many years about the facts that the Sabbath is a test commandment. God measures the church by what it does with his laws. And we must realize and understand, brethren, that we as a church is being judged now. We are being judged now. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Verse 18. Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That says a lot. If you love me, keep my commandments. One of the most important things we can learn and understand is to continue to expand in our understanding of God's law concerning the Sabbath. Back in the days of the Israelites, God had made a very special covenant with the nation of Israel. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. We begin reading in verse 12. Verse 12 of Exodus chapter 31. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath is an identifying sign of God's people. And I know you have experienced this, but we have been called strange because we do things differently than the world we're supposed to. And I know that your neighbors, as mine, wonder why we do this constantly. It's because God commands us to do it. The Sabbath is an identifying sign of God's people. And so the Sabbath day is a very important day, not greater than the other 9 commandments, but a part of the 10 commandments, a sign between us and our Creator as we serve Him. As we know, God hasn't changed. The world tries to sweeten up a lot of things and make things look good and comfortable for their being. God's laws, God's statutes, God's intentions has not changed. But over the years, we have seen the observance of the Sabbath become, in many cases, just another day to a lot of people. Different than it was in the years past, something different has happened to Sabbath keeping. Those of you that has been around for a while will attest to the changes that has been placed in the churches of God over the years. It's sad, but it's true. We remember how the Sabbath was watered down in the early 90s. The observance of the Sabbath became, in many cases, something different than the years before. People began to dress inappropriately. They ceased to have a desire to serve in the church as they did before. I can remember when people would almost run over you just to get to serve in the church. Where are they today? What has happened to those people today? That desire is no longer there. People begin to treat the Sabbath as simply another day. It's sad to say, brethren, but it is the truth. Some of the mindsets that took place in the late 80s and early 90s have crept into the churches of God. God's statutes has not changed. God has not changed. God's laws has not changed. God's law will be carried over from this life right into the millennium. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. We will read verses 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. It's coming a time, not in this society, but it's coming a time in the millennium when all will keep the Sabbath. Now, this brings another question up. I said we were summoned. We are summoned to keep God's laws. We are summoned to keep the Sabbath. And if we fail to do this, how can we teach? How can we fulfill the law that God will bring all flesh before him to keep his Sabbath? We are training now, brethren, and God wants us to get the necessary knowledge and understanding and requirements that is here now to give those billions and billions of people that's coming up in the millennium to teach them about the Sabbath. We are teachers. We are priests and kings in the kingdom of God. We are training now. So our knowledge should be increased. Our enthusiasm should be increased. So when we walk up to those that wants to renege on not going to the, you know, to before appearing before God on the Sabbath, we can say, hey, you know, this day you have to keep. This is required. You have the knowledge. We kept it back. I kept it back, or you kept it back. But you coming up now will be these people will not have the knowledge of Christ. They weren't called in this age. So we have to teach them. So it's our duty, our responsibility to obey the laws of God. Now there are consequences. God says, and this is for another sermon title, but there are consequences for those that will not keep the laws of God in the millennium. And some of those consequences are not very nice. God's going to enforce his rules. I want to give you four primary principles of the Sabbath. Principle number one, first one, tells us not to work on this day. This means that we won't engage in taking on a job that we will receive monies for. We just won't be engaged on working on this day, doing a work to make a living. Now, the second principle of the Sabbath tells us to rest on this day. Now, brethren, this does not mean that we stay in bed all day. It's not what it's talking about. Rest means to change the overall approach that we have from week to week, 6 days of go, 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 and work, work, work. God wants us to rest our minds, relax, put our minds, our thoughts, our meditation on Him and on His way of life. The third principle of the Sabbath, we are told to assemble ourselves with others to worship. We cannot become living room Christians. Hebrews chapter 10. Please turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. We will read verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day was he talking about? End time. End time days that is upon us now. In the early stages. Principle number 4. We are called to assemble together. And why is this? To be taught, to be instructed in the ways of righteousness. We are here, brethren, to encourage and to learn, to be encouraged by others, and through the Word of God. Proper Sabbath observance allows us to develop and maintain a spiritual, personal relationship with both human family and the family of God. Part of properly keeping the Sabbath is reverencing. And that goes all the way into our sanctuary. And I have seen in the sanctuaries where little kids are turned loose. God loves them, I love them, but you know, they turned loose, the parents are not watching them. And they're running all over the sanctuary playing. We can't hold the kids responsible. We can't hold them responsible for that. God says, bring the child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But they let them play. That's not reverencing the Sabbath. Leviticus. Chapter 19. See what God says about this in one verse. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. You see, a lot of people fail to recognize this in certain ways. You know, you have heard and I have heard, and we do this when we are sitting silent in the pews of our sanctuary or the seats in the opening prayer. We ask God to be with us here in spirit and in truth, to guide and to lead everything that's said and done. We asked him to do that. He honors that. He's here. But he wants a sanctuary the place of meeting to be in reverence, to hold this respect. This is what God meant when he said we are to reverence the sanctuary. It means we are appearing before God. God is with us here today in spirit. We are to show honor and respect before God. We are to have our wedding garment on, our best attire, to be in our seats, ready for song services, ready to focus on the sermonette and the sermon. The way we dress will show respect and honor toward God as we appear before him on the Sabbath. Example we find in a parable about this in Matthew chapter 22. I want to read this from the New Living Bible Translation of Matthew chapter 22. Begin reading in verse 1. From the New Living Bible Translation. Verse 1. Jesus told them several other stories to illustrate the kingdom. He said, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. Many guests were invited, and when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify everyone that it was time, but they all refused. So he sent other servants to tell them the feast has been prepared, and choice meats have been cooked. Everything is ready. Hurry. Verse 5. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went about their business. One of his went to a farm, another to his store. Then the king became furious. He sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their city. And he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see." So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed that a man wasn't wearing the proper clothes for the wedding. Verse 12. "Friend," he asked, "how is it that you are here without wedding clothes?" And the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." So let's apply this parable to the Sabbath. It's the 14th verse of this chapter. It says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." We can apply this in several ways. In those days, when Christ was here on earth, it was customary for a wedding guest to wear proper attire to a wedding. Here in this parable, Christ gives an analogy of the wedding. Here is the parable Christ gives, an analogy. Wedding clothes picture the righteousness needed to enter God's kingdom. This tells us, brethren, when we appear before God, we should dress in the best that we have. And as we look deeper into this parable of Christ gave on the wedding, there is something else which we should consider. Although God forgives us for our mistakes and breaking His laws, there is always consequences that can follow if we don't repent and continue to break the laws of God. We noticed in the parable what happened to the guest that was invited to the wedding, which represented our calling, and they refused to go. We saw what happened to the man who came to the wedding, not dressed as he should, what happened to him. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Because in the millennium, brethren, we have a lot of training to do. But we also have a lot of training ourselves here to do, that we can be ready to fulfill our duties in the millennium. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then, verse 14, you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here's a picture of God giving those who honor and keep the Sabbath a blessing. A blessing for keeping the Sabbath. The blessing of the Sabbath is so great that God said, remember it, don't forget it, be here. I want to give you five things, because God said, remember the Sabbath. I want to give you five things to help you remember. And I want to start by remembrance number one. I mentioned before the title of the sermon, You Are Summoned. So, remember number one, you are summoned. Summon means to be called on or called out. And an analogy of this, we have been summoned to worship before God on the Sabbath. The analogy of this, if we receive a summons from the judge in a court, I can assure you that all of us will make some arrangements to appear in court, or you will have a lawyer or somebody to go in and talk for you and say, you know, I can't attend for some reason. I know some of you have been experienced that. I have been summoned to appear in court, serve on a jury. Couldn't do it. But I had to make some arrangements so the judge would know. He said, we have been summoned to appear before God on the Sabbath. And it's like if I didn't go to the courthouse and make some kind of arrangements, I would be either end up with fines of some sort or serving on a community projects. It just wouldn't go away. But it's important that we keep God's laws. And what he's saying, we have been summoned, but to put it another way, God said, be here. Remembrance number two. The Sabbath provides the means by which his family, God's people, you and I, maintain the things pertaining to his purpose for those he has called now and in the future. You know, the nation of Israel didn't follow this. And you've read it in the scriptures. They liked track of the wholesome qualities of his purpose by not keeping the Sabbath. You know what happened. The nation of Assyria kept it, brought Israel into captivity. And this happened around 722 B.C., but that was one of the main reasons that Israel went into captivity, because they failed to keep the Sabbath. Certain translations use they polluted the Sabbath. They had no respect for God's Sabbath. Remembering number three. The Sabbath day is for not only physical but spiritual healing. And I say this because we're supposed to, we go through the series of love for one another, brethren, and if we know one of our brothers or sisters are not doing well spiritually and come to Sabbath service, it is our responsibility to bring some type of joy and hope and reassurance through our conversations. But brethren, we can't do it if we're sitting at home. It just doesn't work. We have to cuddle up and love each other, respect each other, encourage one another. And at the same time, we get encouraging back. But it also gives us a sense and understanding of God's Sabbath. From the beginning, God's ministries instructed us on how to live life and using his principles for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is no significant that is so significant, I should say, that Christ finally began on one end, preparation for the Sabbath, until the other. Now let's look at an example here. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we will begin reading in verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this is what we were saying, the Sabbath. Something we may be able to say to someone will open their understanding if they're blind to certain things. If we have the truth, about something scriptural and the other person has the wrong idea, maybe in our conversation, we can enlighten, give them hope, encouraging them. This is a healing process. Hearing the word of God expounding on the Sabbath will deliver those who are oppressed. Each Sabbath reminds us that God is our liberator. And by keeping it, we show that we are free and want to remain free. Those who are slaves to sin. And there's a lot of people that cannot get rid of certain things that they are tied with. Maybe it's some old habits that they've had. Just can't shake them away. But it may be that you can give them some encouragement in the ways of getting rid of certain things that plagues them in their life. Not going into and trying to search out what their habits are. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying give them hope. God can deliver them. The Sabbath is a place that we all need to be. Love assurance for hope. This brings us to remembrance number 4. The Sabbath is a source of strength and energy. And I have spoken many times to people that tell me how much the Sabbath means to them and how they were encouraged and how they were able to face the week ahead and how they were able to put aside some of the things that had been plaguing them for a long, long time. You see, we are responsible, brethren, for serving the brethren. And there's so many ways that we can serve God's people. But we have to be with each other. We have to be near each other. It is vital, brethren, that we understand that this is where the Sabbath rest comes from. God is the source of strength, power, refreshments. These are the things that come from our relationship with God and with properly keeping the Sabbath. It gives us the energy and knowledge to help each other. And this all comes from God. We can't do it without God. He restores our energy. He gives us power to overcome and to grow. He gives us peace of mind so that we are truly rested He helps us to recover our strength. He enables us to live confident, in confidence, with hope-filled lives. He gives us good health and sound mind. The Lord gives His people beloved sleep. That's what He said. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to set the bread of to eat the bread of sorrows, for He gives His beloved sheep sleep. Gives them sleep. So we are here to fulfill our responsibility on the Sabbath. Remembrance number 5. Keeping the Sabbath. We may want to say Sabbath keeping. Turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Beginning reading in verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which is, if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbath. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. Now this is what God was going to do. He's very angry at the Israelites and the thing that they was doing in reference to the Sabbath. So what motivated the people to despise and to pollute the Sabbath? Well, we can get some knowledge of why. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Just keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So the proper observance of the Sabbath is given to humanity so we might come to know God better on this day than any other day of the week. God provides an entire 24 hours to spend with Him. The Sabbath is a day like no other. We have covered four primary principles of the Sabbath. Number one was do not work on the Sabbath. Second was the Sabbath, a day of rest. The third, the Sabbath, a day of assembly together. Number four, we are called to assemble together to be taught and instructed to develop and maintain a relationship with God and our brethren. And we also had list of five things to remember. They were remember We are consumed, number one. We are summoned, Remember, we are summoned. Number two, the Sabbath provides the means and purpose for our calling. Number three, the Sabbath is a day of healing. Number four, the Sabbath is a source for strength. Number five, Sabbath keeping. As we conclude for today, brethren, I have to say that I was saddened at a certain point, and I don't know where this was taken, whether or not it was from the camps, one of the camps, or more than one camps of our youth. But it was a survey that was made. Why some young adults stop attending. I was saddened to read about their answer. First of all, we know that we don't have a perfect church. But I'm saying this, brethren, that we should do everything that we possibly can do to be examples. To be examples to others. Now, in the survey, and there's more than probably 12 or so answers here, but I'm just going to deal with three of them. But in surveying with these young people, they said, some in the church don't seem to be growing spiritually. That's what some of the young people are saying. Others saying hypocrisy in the church. And the third one, many outside the church show the fruit of the Spirit better than we do. Now, why would young people say that? Because they see it. Brethren, they should not see this in us at all. That's why I was saying, brethren, a lot of things have creeped into the churches of God that shouldn't be. Is saying, but we're responsible. Now, this survey, like I said, it comes from submitted by Steve Nutzman at the home office. He has, he writes a lot of articles, and he has communication with a lot of people. But like I said, I don't know what it was taken at a camp or something, but the young people said that. But they shouldn't have to say it. There's no reason for us. There's a reason, but we shouldn't have to say it because it shouldn't be there. But to close this afternoon, I want to turn back to scripture that I read at the beginning. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Read this earlier, but we'll read it again. Begin reading in verse 11. And do this, knowing that the time that now it is high time to wake out of complete. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in reveling or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Good instructions from the scriptures. Brethren, let's remember the fourth commandment.